Well, again, good evening. Good to have you here tonight. First of all, I am not a fluent speaker. I don't have any formal training in Bible college or preaching or anything like that. Some of you have heard me preach before. Some of you have not. I'm a Sunday school teacher, but things laid on my heart. I start writing things down. I just can't stop writing. So try to always be prepared just in case for times like this. Brother Chris Miller at the right place at the right time. I was ready. Be ready always to give an answer. Well, I'll give an answer. He said, can I preach? Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm not good for long introductions, so I guess we're just going to go ahead and get into it. I want you to know that this is from the Word of God, and I hope my goal is not to step on your toes because I'm aiming for your heart. I want you to think about these things tonight. They're not me. It's the Word of God. It's a lot of Word of God. Two and a half pages. I'm like the pastor. I have a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm never going to get through it. But what I want to get through to it is that you consider the things of the Lord and just admonish you, refresh you, encourage you, okay? And if there's anybody in live stream watching this and you're not saved, it's for you too. So with that, I just want to open it up in a word of prayer before I even read anything. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, come to you tonight in the unity of the Spirit. There's so many things we could do tonight. Today's the day of rest for most people. The multitudes of people are out of the church. They're home resting, playing, even working. Some don't have a choice to work, but some are working for extra money without any regard for the Lord. But Father, there's a faithful remnant here tonight and at churches throughout the world yet still today that are setting aside time for you and for themselves only to get stronger in the Lord and in the power of His might. We love you, Lord, and that's why we're here tonight. We love you more than the things of the world. And we're asking you, Lord, that your Spirit will be upon the hearts of your people tonight, that they will receive the word with gladness and go forth rejoicing after we're finished tonight, knowing that they've been in the house of God and be refreshed in the Lord and even stronger. Lord, if I can teach somebody one little thing that draw them closer to you tonight, then I have succeeded. But Lord, this is for you, in your honor, for Jesus' sake. Amen. How many of you ever been tempted to try to be like somebody else? Yeah, yeah. How's it work for you? You're still yourself, right? Okay. There's a lot of disappointment out there in the world. And who is trying to get you to look up to other people, and who's trying to get you to impress people to get to where they are? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, God says that's not the right way. Proverbs chapter 23 is our main text this evening. Proverbs chapter 23. And I'm going to be talking about the heart of man tonight. I'm going to bring in the heart of God and how they are supposed to relate. Chapter 23 of the book of Proverbs, starting verse 1, we're going to go to verse 8. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. Verse 7 is where we're going today. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. This is speaking about somebody that it's a ruler that invited you in, somebody of affluence, invited you in for his dainty meats and his morsels and all this other stuff to show off, and he wants you to be impressed by him. And you want to be impressed by him because you're at his table. But it says in the first verse, consider diligently what is before thee. Think about, why would he invite you to enjoy his dainties? Does he have an ulterior motive? You know, it's like politics. They dangle these things, these nice dainties in front of you so they get your vote. But then verse 7 says, eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee, because his heart is not right with you, nor is it with God. See, the heart is a person's being, his personality, his character. When we are created in the image of God, we are created in the immortal, the eternal spirit. And that eternal spirit is what lives forever and ever, whether you die and go to heaven or die and go to hell. The flesh is going to be dead. Some people say that this is what God looks like. We're in this kind of form. Well, folks, God is a spirit. He does not have flesh and blood. When Jesus came to the earth, he came and took on flesh. He put flesh on. The flesh is not eternal, but the spirit is eternal. And that's what we need to be feeding, and not so much the flesh. Yeah, the flesh needs food. I mean, if we're Baptists, we need food, right? But the spirit is the heart of man and the soul. And what you feed that is what's going to determine this thing. What you are going to be. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I've got a lot of references to help you along with that. Now there's this guy called the devil, who likes to interrupt any kind of growth in the heart. He wants to keep that distance between your heart and God. And he's subtle at times, but sometimes he's right in your face trying to get you away. But he's effective. He can't force you to do evil. He sure can coerce you. He sure can entice you. He does it by the mind. You get to the heart through the eyes, what you see. Not always what you hear. I mean, because I turn the radio, the only thing I listen to on the radio is preaching. And that's only if I'm up in Hamilton County. Because the radio doesn't reach, the station doesn't reach down anywhere else. But the music, he gets it through the music, but Christians, they can turn the music out. But everything that they see, the billboards and the advertisements and the bumper stickers, the devil has a way to getting into your eye. And that eye goes down to your heart because your eye is part of your mind, and your mind thinks and considers, and it gets down deep in your heart, as James says. We're bombarded by negative influences to distract us from righteousness and distracting our eyes from being single. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, we know that pretty well. I'm sure you could probably quote it, but it says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So we all have sin in our hearts just ready to be revealed. It's just our nature. And Jeremiah says it itself. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the devil feeds on that. He entices you and stirs it up. Well, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my brethren. We're drawn away of our own lust. That's our lust. That's the thought. We think about it first. And then we're enticed. We feed on that thought. The devil likes to feed it. And then the lust is conceived. We plan to fulfill that thought. And then it brings forth sin. That thought is fulfilled. You don't have to go through all those steps. And then there's death. And there's none righteous. The heart is deceitful. And even Solomon said, there's not one that sinneth not. And 1 John chapter 1 says, if he that says he has no sin, the truth is not in him. And he that says he hath not sinned calls him a liar. So the sin is in every single person, and it is in the heart. God addressed that sin at the flood, because he said every imagination of the heart was only evil continually. And then in the book of Judges, every man did that which is right in his own eyes. Are they not doing that today? Were you like that? I was like that before my salvation. I'm like some of you. I got saved later in life. I'm still a youngster. 26 years, 27 years being saved. I'm still a youngster. Some of you have been saved for 50 years or so, maybe even longer. But there's a lot of stuff that the Lord that the devil stirs up. And I was like that. When the salesman used to come to the door, you know, he'd open the door, you'd open the door, and, you know, he'd knock, he'd open the door, and then he'd kind of sneak his foot in there while he's talking to you, and you'd say, no thanks, and it'd stop on the door, right? Well, the devil's got his foot in the door. That's where the expression comes up, the foot in the door. And then he keeps talking, keeps pushing a little bit. Next thing you know, he's inside the door. And then keeps talking, and then you get a little bit comfortable with him, and you invite him, well, would you like some tea and crumpets or coffee and cookies? Then you invite him to sit down, and next thing you know, you're buddies. He's slow, and he starts with the foot in the door, and that is what this guy's trying to do, entice you with his dainties, but he's not really there for your benefit. He's there to get something out of you. And you need to beware. Consider diligently what's before you. Consider. Because if you don't, you're going to fall into every snare and every trap. Now, examples of of people's hearts, how they get in, how the devil lets them in. Ananias and Sapphira, they were rebuked. Why? It says, Satan hath filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. And when it gets in your heart, that's what's going to come out. Ananias and Sapphira were liars because they withheld the full truth, and God punished them for that. And then, but yet there's also good hearts. Joseph's heart, his heart was for God. He didn't give in to the temptation of Potiphar's wife. His heart was right with God. And so he avoided, he was tempted, but he avoided that. Job, he was tempted to by his wife to curse God. He didn't curse God. David, a man after God's own heart. He did a lot of good, but his heart committed sin with Bathsheba, and God punished that. But there is a goal with the heart when you are tempted, and when you are trying to do right by God. Psalm 19, verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, the words of our mouths, they express what's in our hearts. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The Lord Jesus himself said that. So if you have a lot of ill in your heart, it's going to come out in your mouth. If you have a lot of good and a lot of love and a lot of joy in your mouth, in your heart, it's going to come out. Like I was talking to Sunday school this morning, I love church, and I love being around His people. And I got up around in the Sunday school, I shook people's hand, because I get revived when I come to church. I get excited, and sometimes I'm told I get too excited, exuberant, and almost obnoxious with how much energy I have. Hey, I'm 55, almost 56 years old. I don't want to lose that energy just yet, okay? I've got a grandchild that's a little bit over 1 year old, and he's going to get older. I'm going to need some energy, so I'm going to hold on to that for a while. And then Psalm 49, I love this one. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. And that text back there that I read this morning, it says, cease from thine own wisdom. But he says, I will speak of wisdom, but my meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. With all you're getting, you know, you get this, get that, get knowledge and everything. But with all you're getting, get understanding. Understanding what the will of the God is, understanding what the Word of God says, and understanding what the circumstances are. You know, you need to really consider what's going on around you, whether it be for your benefit, their benefit, or somebody's hurt. What do you do to combat this? Well, 1 Peter, we've been going through 1 and 2 Peter. 1 Peter 1:13 says we're supposed to gird up the loins of our minds. And Proverbs, supposed to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So if we let the devil have our heart and let the world get in our heart, we're going to start looking like the world. We're going to start talking like the world. And it's because of the things we see and the things we hear. And blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's the world. You got to stay away from the counsel of the ungodly. And nor standeth in the way of sinners. So you don't want to be getting comfortable and trying to stand around, kind of want to be accepted. You know about high school cliques, they want to be part of a group, so they kind of sneak in there and laugh at their jokes and you know, clap and woohoo all them. And then you get comfortable sitting in the seat of the scornful. Then you become one of them scorning. And that's also a drifting away from the fold of God, which there is a great falling away these days. We talked about that in Sunday school, because people are leaving the churches because somebody makes them mad, somebody says something wrong, they don't like what the preacher said. But folks, there's more than one independent fundamental Baptist church in Indianapolis. And there's one guy that's going to judge you, Brother John. If you have aught with him and you don't get it settled and you just leave the church, you're going to have a lot to answer for. He may not know he offended you. So make it right with your brothers, and then if you have to leave, then leave, if it's going to keep the peace. But don't leave church because of it, because then you fall into the trap. You're going to be sitting, you're going to be walking in the way of sinners, standing in the way of sinners, and sitting down with the scornful. That such things ought not to be spoken of the children of God. And then, if you want your eye to be single, Psalmist says in Psalm 103, I will set no wicked thing before me. How many of you watch TV? And admit it. Okay? I like Jeopardy. There was a kind of point in time where Shell and I, there's like a couple months, where we were not going to watch Jeopardy. Because people making a big to-do about the winner. And I think you all know who I'm talking about. But when that person finally lost, we started watching again. I love Jeopardy. I like Quest because it's got a whole kinds of Quest TV has all kinds of history and factory made and stuff like that. I like that. But then there's other shows. Boy, there's not much restraint on what they're letting on TV these days. So it's hard to find. I've got antenna TV. I'm not paying for TV if I'm only going to get one or two channels. We have an antenna stuck up against the wall. And it's easy to turn the TV off, but is it just as easy to keep it on? Some things are funny, but then the commercial pops on, and there's no restraint on what they're showing on the commercials. And that's going in your eyes, and it's sinking down in your heart, because you see it in your eyes, and you start thinking about it. And then it might get you all riled up and all fussy, but then some people, even young Christians, might be weak, and they see that, and they are enticed by that, and then they start thinking about it, and then they start carrying it out. If you know a young Christian, and they're hooked on the television, hooked on seeing things, and the phones, they show, I get stuff on my phones, I have to take, you know, stuff off and erase, delete. I almost wonder, sometimes I don't like having a smartphone, but it's an improvement from the flip phone. I've 6 months now we've had, 7 months. I think it's cool, but there are a lot of things I have to keep my eyes on to shut off, turn away, so that I'm not setting any wicked thing before me. And that there also applies to you're doing it yourself, not just being put in front of you, but setting them on choice. To set means do you have the control of it? So if you're going to combat the wickedness getting into your heart, you need to restrain yourself. And Philippians 4:8 is another beautiful thing to keep your heart pure. You all probably quoted it too. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. If you have these right things in your mind and you're concentrating on these, you're having the mind of Christ. And did Christ ever sin? No, he was tempted in all like manners as we were, yet without sin. And it is that sin that we have committed against him that caused him to go to the tree. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. The text I read this evening, he wanted to be of reputation. He was sitting at the ruler's table, eating and looking at his dainty meats, so that he might someday become something. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And folks, the heart of God is this. We are sinful. We are destined for hell because our sin has been committed against the Creator God. And he, in his infinite wisdom, said there's going to have to be a payment for sin. So man's going to have to die because of his sin. But yet, he also had in the forethought, I know they're going to sin, so my son is going to make that payment someday. And he wrote it all through the Old Testament. Jews were looking forward to that day where the Messiah would come and pay for all the sin. Well, he came, folks, Jesus Christ. Amen. He was born. He was a spirit in heaven. One part of the Trinity, the Godhead, a creator of all things, came down to this dirty old rotten earth and took on the form of human flesh. A spirit took on flesh and lived a life just as we did. He was a boy, a carpenter. He had calluses. Dave, you have your stitches are gone from working with the wood. I'm sure Jesus had his scars and his cuts from working with wood because he's called in the book of Luke. Isn't that the carpenter? His mom was Mary and aren't those his brothers and his sisters? So he got cut and bruised. He probably got sick too, just a normal boy, wrestling around and running around. But yet he never sinned. And then when he was crucified, he did it for the people, the sinful people of human. And he suffered so much pain, the torture and the beating and the spitting and the ridicule. Then he hung up on that cross, bleeding, suffering, dehydration, pain, heat. And they were mocking and wagging their heads at him. He's doing it for us so that we wouldn't have to die and go to hell. And he was up there. And in the middle of the day, he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the earth went black, dark, no sun for the space of 3 hours. Folks, that's the first time in all of eternity past and never again in eternity future that the Godhead was separated. The Father turned his back to the Son. He could not look on the sin that Jesus took on him. He who knew no sin became sin. The Father could not look on it. Can you imagine? The Godhead separated, never, ever, ever in eternity past before, for the space of 3 hours. The light of the world went dark. To Jesus, that 3 hours, three earthly hours, had to have felt like an eternity. Suffering. My God, my God. And the pain and the heartache for you and for me. He died and he's buried. But death could not hold him. The grave could not hold him. He raised again the third day. According to the scriptures, everything that was written about him came true. His heart was so in love with mankind that he had to finish the work. When he said it is finished, that's finished. The work was done. The payment was made. Have you believed that? When he rose again from the dead, that was it. He's alive. And we're going to be singing about that here pretty soon. April is the greatest month in all the world. You know, not only was I born, but that's Easter. That's the resurrection month of Jesus. Sometimes it falls in March, depends on the calendar, but this year it's in April. And we celebrate the risen Christ. He's in the world today, but he's in your heart. Do you believe what the scripture saith of Jesus Christ who died for our sins? Do you believe it? If you don't, you're on your way to hell and you have no recourse to the law. You must believe. He did it for you. He did it for me. I believed. I didn't at first. It took me over a year of preaching it. Can you imagine sitting in a church for over a year and still not believing? That's how hard my heart was. My heart was bent on me. And it took a long time, but once it did, whew, floodgates open. Man, I'm reading the word, and Pastor Hicks, what's the church office now used to be a library. Every Thursday for over a year, he spent an hour and a half with me going through the Word of God. And I've not stopped. I just love the Lord. I love His people. I love the Word of God. But there are so many people out there that don't believe it. Is there anybody out there in live stream that does not believe it? I pray that you would believe it. Search the Scriptures and see if that what I say is true. You'll find that Jesus is love. His heart is to save your soul. He paid the price. All you have to do is believe. And that's the heart of God. And the heart of man, another thing about the heart of God, he knows your heart, whether or not you need him. But do you know you need him? Do you know what it takes to believe? He understands the thoughts of your heart. And he can create a new heart in you. Oh God, create in me a clean heart. He did me, and he can you. Even if you are a child of God, you can get your heart dirty. You can get your heart dirty. Something may go wrong. You're enticed, and you sin, and you haven't confessed it to God. God can. He's faithful and just to forgive you of sin. All you got to do is ask for forgiveness, and he will create in you a clean heart, and you can bring that fellowship back together again. God also establishes your heart. One way to establish your heart is to read the Word of God consistently. I'm not going to ask you, I'm not going to ask for hands, but ask yourself, am I faithful in the Word of God? There are days when I'm not faithful. I'll admit, I'm human. I've got sin nature just like anybody else. But when I get out of the Word of God, I get weak. I am convicted. The Holy Spirit says, hey, you need to get back in the Word of God. My wife says, hey, you better get back in the Word of God. I love my sweet wife. She is so faithful, and she gets on me when I don't get in the Word of God. And praise God for that. I hope that your spouse is the same way. Hey, you read your Word yet? You spend time with the Lord yet? It's important. It's important. So he can do that for you. And our hearts, as Christians, we need to be prepared prepared unto God, given to God, and we need to be guided in the right way. What's your guide? Is your guide the things of the world? Shouldn't be. Should be the Word of God. Should be the whole sweet Holy Spirit. And He will guide you into all truth. And we're supposed to believe with all our heart. The Lord Jesus Christ says, love the Lord with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And love thy brethren as yourself. Everything else just hang on the law and the prophets. But love the Lord with all thy heart. That's your all your being. Let nothing between my soul and my Savior. Nothing. And right there, draw nigh unto God and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Purification comes by the Word of God. Faithfulness to the house of God. You know, it's sad to see people who are Christians who they'll come to Sunday school and you won't see them again until next Sunday school. And then they go home, Sunday school, and they go home. And we have 12 services a week, worship services. And then 12 services a week, a month. For four, if we have four Sundays, we have 12 services a month. And four Sunday schools a month. So basically 16 ways you can grow in the Lord and have fellowship with the saints. And if you have a fifth Sunday, that's a bonus. And people wonder, well, I don't know why I'm struggling with sin so much. Get into church. Get in fellowship with the saints. And they come a couple times a month. And you wonder why. Those are the ones we need to come up and say, hey, missed you in Sunday school or missed you in the service. Oh, you missed out on a great service. We had, when we have times to eat afterwards, fellowships afterwards, it's good to have them to hold each other up and have conversations because some people don't have time to get out and about. I know some people, like our daughter, she works night shifts and she'll get off at 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning and church is half hour away starting at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock. She's tired when she goes to church, and so she can't. So she's got to get home and get some rest to go to the next night shift. And Rachel's the same way. She works the night shift. It's hard to stick around for fellowships, but when you can, do so, because the iron sharpeneth iron. So does the friend sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Without friends, you can't be alone. Lonesomeness is hard. Yeah, you have the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you have friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's strong. That's strong. So if you are a born-again Christian, you have a renewed heart, a regenerated heart. And that kind of heart, that kind of heart needs to be prepared to seek God. There's a king, Jehoshaphat, in the Old Testament, where the Lord, it's written down in the Word of God, even though he had his failures, even though he had his trouble, nevertheless, God says to Jehoshaphat, good things are found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Is your heart prepared to seek God, not just on Sundays, but on each and every day? Because He can guide you. He can help you through the day's troubles. You just need to worry about the day, because today's got enough evils thereof. Our hearts need to be desirous of God. You desire God? Do you desire His ways and His strength? He can give you the desires of your heart. It says in Psalm 37, delight also thyself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Not your desires, but the desires that He would have for you in your heart. For a long time I thought, wow, if I delight in the Lord, I will have desires in my heart and He's going to give them to me. Boy, was I wrong. He's going to give you the desires that He wants me to have. If I delight in Him. So delighting in Him, I'm going to have the right desires. The desires that are going to honor Him and not myself. Otherwise, it's be selfish. And this guy back here in the text, he's selfish. He wants to show everybody what's going on. But there is a warning. Verse 8 is the warning. Proverbs 23:8. If you're going to fall into that trap and you're going to try to enjoy this man's froward dainties and try to, you know, rub elbows with the big wigs just to make yourself look good, says, the morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. Folks, you're going to lose your testimony. If you fall into the trap of the devil's going to get you to live a worldly lifestyle and you're trying to represent Jesus Christ, you're going to lose that testimony. Your sweet words will no longer be sweet words. They will be bitter, and your heart will turn bitter. Stay close to the Lord. Commit thy ways unto Him. Acknowledge Him. Let Him direct you by the sweet word of God, by good, honest-to-goodness preaching. Preaching of the Word of God, preaching Christ and Christ crucified. He died on the cross, not on a Roman stretching board. I heard that preached the other day, and the one even to the death on the cross. And this preacher from Chicago, from a Moody Bible Institute, called it a Roman stretching board. I'm thinking, what? I don't know what version of Bible that is in, but that's not my Bible. That's two different things. He fell into that trap to compromise to be popular with the world. He did not consider what was set in front of him. He partook of that ruler's dainties. He partook of those dainties of the world. Would to God that Charity Baptist Church never compromises and always considers what's in front of us, always considers the truth of the Word of God. Hold one another accountable, especially our pastor. He is a good man, and he preaches righteousness. He preaches from the Word of God. We need to uphold him in prayer so he is not influenced by the world. So many other churches and preachers give in to this false thinking, false doctrine. Would to God that Charity Baptist Church always stays faithful in the Word of God. And we need to be wholly devoted to God. And then I'll close there. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. Have you been saved from a little or saved from much? I've been saved from much. And Jesus says, he that hath been forgiven much, loveth much. I love the Lord. And we're supposed to show forth His wondrous works. Folks, I am a wondrous work. If you knew me before I was saved, you would show, you. I am God's miracle work. And Brother Norm, you know exactly where I came from. He and I have a similar testimony. Folks, we all need to do it. We all came from the miry clay. We all came from the same mold, the mold of human weakness. Let us always bear forth the love of Christ, crucified, died and was buried, according to the Scripture, rose on the third day, according to the Scriptures, for us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for your wonderful kindness. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We're asking you, Lord, to look upon the hearts of all these people tonight. And if there be anybody here that needs to make it right with you, if there's error in their thinking, error in their lives, may they set it forth at the altar of God tonight and ask for your strength to never return to it again, but to always seek your face. But Lord, we need the strength of the Holy Spirit, the power that He has, that we might overcome that sin. We are conquerors because of Jesus Christ, but yet the little battles we face sometimes overtake us. Help us, Lord, in our daily lives as we try to show forth thy loving kindness, and let our mouths speak praise of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in each and every day. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood that was shed for all mankind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you all stand with me, I'll give you an opportunity. If you want to come to the altar to pray, you can. And then we'll dismiss.